Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Hey, is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yep, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
Whoa, I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Get our best deals on iPhone 15 Pro at T-Mobile.com.
One-year upgrade requires Go 5G Next plan, financing new qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
I did that on purpose, but it wasn't even planned. It is After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're midway through our Monday night show. Whew, time to take a breath. We had a Game 7 and Monday Night Football, in which there was an upset, and now we get another Game 7 coming up on Tuesday. First winner-take-all games of these playoffs. I hope you believe they were worth the wait. Can the Phillies protect their home field the way the Astros could not? And it was a no-doubter. Actually, I had a friend. Her boyfriend works for the Rangers, so they were in Houston for Game number 7. I didn't realize they were going, but I posted at some point, seventh inning maybe, about how happy I am for the Texas Rangers, and she responds with, "No, it's not over." Yes. Yes, it was. And Eddie Garcia is the reason why.
Pitch, and Adolis hits a high drive to deep left field. Going back is Brantley. He turns, he looks. That is off the wall. It's in play. Carter heading home. Adolis thought it was a home run. He only gets to first base. And the Rangers lead 2-0. And the pitch swung on and a high fly ball hit to left field. This is deep. Back is Brantley at the wall. He's looking up. And that ball is history. It just barely makes it into the Crawford boxes. A 2-home run game for Adolis Garcia. That was a moonshot.
He's one of our guys. I'll start with that. And we're not surprised about what he did. I've seen him do it during the year. This guy's an incredible talent. And what he did, and really we had contribution from everybody, but what he did is truly amazing. And how he recovered with that incident, came in here and just had great at bats. He's just a talented guy that, you know, I'm not surprised by anything. Defensively, offensively, we're lucky to have him.
And now a brand new record for 15 RBI in a single postseason series, 20 RBI in helping the Rangers get to their first World Series since 2011. The call's there on Rangers Radio along with Bruce Bochy. And Jared Sandler is a part of Rangers Radio, does the pre and the post, and is joining us now that the plane has landed back in Dallas. Is that where you are, Jared?
Yeah, no, we've landed and now in the car on the way home. And get a few hours of sleep and get to celebrate a Game 7 win. Really exciting times, obviously.
Well, let's talk first about Adolis Garcia. How would you describe the season that he's had?
Well, I guess up and down. I mean, if we're being honest, you know, mm-hmm. he's one of these guys who he's streaky. He gets white hot, and then he does what he's done this season, you know, just collecting RBIs like they're going out of style. You know, for a long time, he was the Major League and then American League RBI leader, then got hurt, then ultimately didn't win the American League RBI crown, losing out to Kyle Tucker. But, you know, he is, despite the streakiness with the bat, every single day, the personality and the energy. I mean, people describe him as the heartbeat of this team, and I think that's a pretty appropriate description for him. He is the guy who fans cheer the loudest for. Even if he's not necessarily the team's best player, he represents, I think, a lot of what is great about our game, the joy with which he plays, and then the excitement that his play provides others. He's a lightning rod in this series. You know, he was the guy that stirred the drink. And, it was you felt really good when he was in the box, and that certainly played out tonight.
I am not saying that he was hit intentionally by Abreu, but
I'll tell you he was.
Okay,
there you go.
Well,
how
in that, fine, in that situation or any other, I can possibly understand why a pitcher might target his rear end or plunk him because he does have a tendency to posture. And I laughed my butt off, if it wasn't Garcia, I would laugh at any athlete who did this. When he's standing there admiring his early hit, his blast that bounces off the wall and isn't actually a home run, and then instead of being at second, he's at first base. I mean, that's a little infuriating.
Yeah, and you know, now he did steal second two pitches later to make up for it. But
yes.
You know, Amy, at that part of the game, it wasn't, you know, we didn't know it was going to be a blowout. So that could have been critical. Thankfully, it didn't, you know, it didn't prove to be costly. But, you know, he was also a few feet away from hitting three home runs tonight because of that. I mean, it just, he watched that one. He probably shouldn't have. But, you know, he's consistent. And I get there are people that certain generation and they believe things to be a certain way. And you know, who are we to, you know, say that you're wrong in the way that you think. But I don't know. I think that it's so important in any sport to remember it's a game. And you should have the freedom to play with that joy and that energy. And you know, if Adolis would have taunted in game five, if Adolis would have taunted Justin Verlander or looked into the Astros dugout while trotting around the bases, all right, you know what, you're asking for it. He did nothing like that. You know, he celebrated with himself. He celebrated with his teammates. And, you know, what was the most critical moment of the postseason run at the time for the Rangers? And, you know, there's history between Adolis and Martin Maldonado and Adolis and the Astros. And that's, honestly, Amy, at that moment, that's when the rivalry really came to life. I mean, this is a rivalry. Dallas and the DFW Metroplex and Houston, they don't like each other. Not the sports towns, just the town.
Right.
Like, people from Houston don't like people from Dallas and vice versa. And the Astros and Rangers don't like one another. And, you know, if that sparked the rivalry and that's going to make it more exciting for next year, so be it. But Adolis, you know, poetic justice getting to win the series, but also hoist the ALCS MVP trophy at Minute Maid Park.
Agreed. And I hope that he does enjoy every second, considering where he came from, his family history, and the journey it took to get to this point. And now onto a World Series. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Jared Sandler back in the Dallas Metroplex after the Game 7 in Houston. So what have the last few hours been like for you?
Been awesome. Amy, I grew up in Dallas. I grew up a diehard Rangers fan, and I'm so fortunate to get the broadcast of the Rangers. But, you know, I think I can speak not only as someone in broadcasting, but as a Rangers fan growing up and understanding what it's like to be a Rangers fan. I mean, all, you know, your friend, I heard your little lead in, you know, your friend saying, hey, it's not over yet. Well, that's the curse of a Rangers fan. You know, Rangers fans have not experienced getting that, you know, that final moment of satisfaction. And, you know, the last 6 years have been really rough. And, you know, I just think this has been such a special run for Rangers fans. And to go through the Astros to do it, you know, I think that was big. You know, there were a lot of people that didn't want to play the Astros. They were nervous, and I get it. But to exercise that demon was huge. But, you know, this is an organization that's been around for more than 50 years, and they've never quite sealed the deal. Obviously, a lot of people know about 2011 and how close the team was. But, you know, another opportunity to get back. And the crazy thing is, you know, this was not the year to do it. You know, this was supposed to be that first year where, hey, let's play competitive baseball into September, and the team makes the playoffs, great. Anything can happen. But, you know, this was a team that led the division first of the season, lost it the last day of the year. You know, there was that bit of heartache because of it. You go up 2-0, Houston, lose three straight, heartache again. I mean, this team's been, you know, knocked down. They keep getting back up. It's an easy team to root for. And it's just a really exciting moment, I think, for Rangers fans because the Rangers have never won a World Series. And it's another chance to get back there and try and take care of some unfinished business. So the last few hours, Amy, it's been awesome. And to see the joy on people's faces, you really get a sense for how much this means to these guys and gals and the families and, you know, all that goes into, you know, the long grind of a major league season. And to land back in Dallas with some fans there waiting, get a few days to recharge and host game one of the World Series on Friday.
Well, then let's talk about the fact that they have won every road game. I know you mentioned that they are going to have the home field to start out the Fall Classic, but they've won every road game. And I think it's significant considering the last series that they had in the regular season. And as you say, it was devastating for them to lose that AL West title in the tiebreak to Houston. But the way we saw them bounce back, and then in a microcosm, the ALCS, where they lose all three games in their own park and have to bounce back again. So what is it about this team that makes it so resilient, that makes it a team that can continue to bounce back?
Yeah, and Amy, too, you know, the Rangers' last nine home playoff games dating back to 2015, 1-8. So winning those road games.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, pretty significant. They're going to have to win some home games coming up. But that's the billion-dollar question, I guess. You know, the resolve, the resiliency, the character. I mean, you know, people, now that the spotlight is on the Rangers, you know, they think of the big moments. But, I mean, this is a team the last 2 months of the regular season, the bullpen struggles, then stretches the lineup, just sort of, you know, they went through normal streakiness. And there were a number of times when, you know, you drive home from a game and think, you know, is this team done? And, you know, they keep getting back up and answering the call. I think, Amy, I don't know for sure the answer. You know, I've asked a ton of people, gotten a lot of different responses, but, you know, the prevailing thing, you know, I think Bruce Bochy deserves a lot of credit. You know, his demeanor every single day is the exact same. You know, you would never know the next – you might know in the moment, right? You might look in the dugout in the eighth inning when the Rangers are giving up a lead in you know, early September. You might see it then, but when he shows up to the park the next day, he doesn't, you know, there aren't like rules that are changing. It's not like, you know, we're going to go into panic mode and now all of a sudden, you know, you can't listen to music. None of that. He's the same exact guy. And then I think that carries over to their two best players, their middle infielders, Marcus Semien and Corey Seager. These guys are about as stoic as can be when they're in between the lines. And I just think all these things rub off on people. They got the right mix of veterans and young guys. And it's not just the stars. It's guys like Robbie Grossman. You know, Robbie basically only plays versus lefties now. But, you know, he's a veteran, and he carries that demeanor. And I think they got guys who they want to be there because they want to win. And even if there are, you know, there are guys who they were playing more earlier in the year, not playing much now. There are guys who, you know, it's not that they're not playing much. They're not playing at all. But, you know, there isn't a lot of talking, you know, behind people's backs. Like, this guy, I can't believe I'm not playing over this guy. I mean, these guys are all lockstep. Hey, you know what? Yeah, I do want to play more, but we're winning, and I want to win, and I'll do whatever it takes to win. There's just a lot of that messaging, and I just think that stuff's real. You can't quantify it. It might sound corny or fairy tale hallmarky, but that stuff's real, and that sometimes is a separator for teams that, you know, allow them to maybe overcome some deficiencies and make a run like the Rangers have made.
Well, leadership is a huge part of it, of course. And you point to Bruce Bochy. He's got all that championship experience. I also think, and you mentioned Corey Seager as part of the tandem with Marcus Semien, but the fact that Seager is also a champion and came from the Los Angeles Dodgers, who won their title on the new field there, right? Like, before the Rangers ever got to host a World Series game, they were hosting a World Series game, but for other teams, going back to the pandemic, right? So Corey brings that as well, because he came from an organization that has perennially high standards. And so I think it's a good mix of veterans as well as guys who've obviously not been there before, but certainly can hit the snot out of the ball. Jared Sandler is with us from the Rangers Radio Network, and now they are headed to the World Series, first time since 2011. He's in his car just fresh off the plane, so we appreciate a couple of minutes here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. How does their pitching line up for the World Series?
Yeah, so the Rangers, the big question going into the playoffs was about the depth or maybe lack thereof with their bullpen. But their starting pitchers and really Jordan Montgomery and Nathan Eovaldi specifically have done such a good job of not just pitching effectively, but going deep into games. And as they've been able to do that, you know, understandably, it limits the need for the bullpen. And so they've really been able to ride the trio of Josh Boers, Aroldis Chapman, and Jose Leclerc. They have not needed to really expand beyond that a ton. And the times they have, with the exception of one game, they've had, you know, a decent amount of success. Now in a seven-game series, that can get exposed, and that's where they got into a little bit of trouble in games 3, 4, and 5 in the series against the Astros. You know, if they face the Phillies, a team with guys who will draw walks, a team that can hit the ball out of the yard, you know, that's going to test them. Not that the Diamondbacks won't, but the Diamondbacks just go about things a little bit of a different way. I think that you can ride a playoff run with some great relievers and maybe aggressive bullpen usage, but that's not how this team's made up. It's kind of more traditional. They're riding their starters, getting those guys through 6 into the 7th inning and limiting the exposure of their bullpen. So I think a lot of it hinges on their starters. If Nathan Eovaldi and Jordan Montgomery are taken out of the game in the 4th, 5th innings, well, you're not playing to your strengths. You're now asking your bullpen, a group that's been shaky for a lot of the year, to try and carry you. So it sounds so simple, but, you know, if you really follow teams in the postseason, I mean, heck, the Diamondbacks in a Game 7 tomorrow or tonight, however you want to look at it, they're going to go with Brandon Fott, and, you know, he might go 4 innings, maybe 5 innings, I don't know, and then they're going to try to piece it together. That's just not how the Rangers are wired and made up, and it's worked for them so far. But that is going to be the big question going into the World Series, how their starters can hold up and can they continue to bridge the gap and support their bullpen by going deep.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, I'm not a huge believer in Max Scherzer at this stage in his career. I know what he's done in the past, but we've seen him in the last couple of playoff runs be unreliable. So not a huge fan of using him, but at the same time, Jordan Montgomery comes in out of the bullpen and gets another win. Between him and Eovaldi, they win all 4 games in the series.
Yeah, and I mean, those two guys, Eovaldi, a free agent signing who probably was available at a little bit of a discount because of health stuff and maybe not having a super sexy last season. And Jordan Montgomery, a guy who, you know, probably to some degree undervalued at the trade deadline, and he's earning himself a boatload of money. He's a free agent to be, and a lot of Rangers fans are asking, can we sign him? Can we sign him? And the Rangers would love to, but with every outing like this, that asking price is going up. But, you know, those are two moves that have been made within the last 8 months that have played such a pivotal role in this team's run. And, you know, Nathan Eovaldi is, you know, he's won 4 games this postseason. He's the first player in franchise history to win 4 games in a single postseason. I mean,
wow.
He's quickly developing a reputation of being a big game hunter, and Jordan Montgomery doing much of the same.
Before I let you go, Jared, you mentioned their home record in the last 9 playoff games. It's not great. Obviously didn't win one in the ALCS, but they do have home field advantage for the World Series. What do you expect for game 1 on Friday evening?
Well, I expect Nathan Eovaldi to start, and, you know, I expect a great crowd. You know, I will tell you, Amy, it sounds crazy. Friday nights in Texas are tough. It will be sold out, but there are a lot of people who would otherwise be there they got high school football that night.
Yep.
But it will be sold out. We'll probably have some Creed playing, and, you know, the energy in game 3 against the Orioles was unlike anything else. Now, the Astros took the wind out of people's sails in games 3 and 4 of this series, but, you know, this is a fan base that is hungry for a World Series. The team has never won one. And I can't wait for the atmosphere of Friday and Saturday night.
Has your adrenaline worn off yet?
Amy, not yet. No, there's no shot. It's 3:20 here locally. There's no way. I got a meeting at 8, and there's no way I'm going to sleep anytime in the next. I got a shot. Amy, I'm still drenched, or I reek of alcohol, champagne. You know, I got to shower and unpack, and there's no way I'm going to bed the next day.
Well, it's a good thing you're not getting pulled over, because that would not play with a police officer.
Yeah, better hope that cop is a Rangers fan. Otherwise, I'd have a lot of explaining to do.
Yes, well, we're glad that you are safe, but I can certainly understand. So you can find Jared on Twitter at Jared Sandler, and he does not just studio for Rangers, but on our Dallas affiliate, 105.3 The Fan. You're going to hear him because the Rangers are headed to the World Series. Well, I'm sure it was a blast. Thank you so much for making a few minutes for us.
Amy, thanks so much for having me. Have a wonderful rest of your morning.
Thank you. Morning. I like how he talks about that. He just landed there in Dallas-Fort Worth not that long ago, and he's talking about morning, which I suppose it technically is, but gosh, what a night. Oh, what a night for the Texas Rangers. Pretty sweet. And I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it does sound like he was saying that the Rangers pitching would match up better with the Diamondbacks than with the Phillies, only because they test you from top to bottom. Though at this point, every lineup is going to do that. And how about this? For the second straight year, we're talking about a wild card coming out of the National League, and now you got a wild card for the American League as well. What's with these wild cards, these upstart wild cards? I wonder if that makes the commissioner happy or not, that all these 100-win teams are golfing, well, on vacation with their golf club somewhere, and that it's wild cards. But you think about the fan bases, Dallas, Fort Worth area, Philadelphia, Phoenix, fan bases have done themselves proud to this point. Once again, our Dallas affiliate is 105.3 The Fan, and Jared Sandler from the pre- and post-game of Rangers Radio, as well as just working with the Rangers and inside their clubhouse, and got some great photos and videos up on his Twitter, so check them out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Let's face the facts. Everyone wants to feel valued, especially your employees. In fact, a 2023 study found 78% of business owners say benefits and retirement plans improve employee retention. Employees want to feel secure in their jobs and their finances. At Principal, we help you invest in your people, because investing in your people is investing in your business. Learn more at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Basketball season is finally back, and BetQL is ready to help you win more consistently this year. BetQL is an absolute game changer if you're looking to find trends to help you win. Make smarter bets on spreads, totals, player props, and more. BetQL has already helped over 300,000 people with powerful analytics and community insights. Don't airball your opportunity this basketball season. Visit BetQL.com for their free daily analysis today. That's BetQL.com.
Maybe you're still new to this whole EV thing, but those range fears? Turns out your all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 gets you to work and back all week on a single charge. And now every Ioniq 5 comes with a complimentary EV charger and up to $600 installation credit. When it comes to embracing change, we're thinking of every mile. Hyundai, it's your journey. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2023 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities in select states only.
Play spins, fires on the way. He banked it in! He banked in a three from the right corner! You've got to be kidding me! 96-94. Or was that a two? It was a two. They're calling it a two. Either way, he banked it in from the corner!
This is Klay Thompson, four-time champion with the Golden State Warriors. You're listening to one of the best shows in America, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh my gosh, what a surprise. Thank you again to Ray with Warriors PR. That was not my idea. That was all Warriors PR. That was all Ray and his staff, and I am blown away. Thank you, Klay Thompson. Thank you to Ray. Thank you to the Warriors. We're going to see if we can put that in a clip and throw it up on our social media so that we can share with people. I don't want to go so far as to believe that Klay Thompson had any idea he was reading that for, who he was recording that for, but I do not care. I have been a huge fan of Klay Thompson since he got into the league, and now considering what he's gone through over the past few years, the torn ACL, the blown Achilles, 2.5 years away from basketball, and how honest and authentic he's been about the difficulty of the journey, how dark it was at times, and then the joy like none other when the Warriors were able to win the NBA title 2 seasons ago.
Makes you feel really good.
He just says he's been more open, I would say vulnerable, just kind of sharing his feelings and talking about the process, and it means more to him. He would never take it for granted again, but also an incredibly dynamic talent, and once he gets hot, watch out. I mean, even when Klay Thompson is on, I mean, we know he was always, going back to before the injuries, one of the game's best two-way guards, both defense and offense. So he's always assigned to the other team's best guard on defense. So he was putting out so much energy and effort on the defensive end of the floor, and yet still would have everything he needed on the offensive end to light it up. And when he is on, when he's locked in, even Steph is deferring to him, right? Because there is no shot sweeter when Klay Thompson is in a groove. So that's super cool. Excited about the start of the NBA season, which, by the way, begins in mere hours and does include the Golden State Warriors. Of course, the NBA is not dumb. 4 West Coast or Western Conference teams. The defending champion Denver Nuggets. That sounds weird to say. The defending champion Denver Nuggets hosting the Lakers. I almost called them wannabes. They do want to be champions again. But Lakers at Nuggets.
You put that in your pipe, you smoke it.
And Suns on the road at Golden State. So Kevin Durant in a rematch or a reunion, shall we say, with the Warriors and his former teammates. Do know that Draymond Green will not be playing in this one. I don't recall what the injury is, but he's out. Maybe it's an ankle, a foot, something along those lines. But these are 2 high-profile games that will be on TNT. Up against a Game 7, by the way, in Philadelphia. So it'll be interesting to see the viewership numbers and who chooses what. But welcome back to the NBA, and once again, thank you to Klay Thompson. Speaking of the NBA, if you hadn't seen the big news, maybe it was lost in Game 7 and Monday Night Football, but Giannis is now tied to Damian Lillard in Milwaukee. Giannis gets a brand new contract. An extension, but it's for 3 years and 186 million dollars, you guys. That's insane. 3 years, 186 million. I did the math quickly in my head. That is $62 million a year. $62 million a year. And I'm not saying he isn't worth it to the NBA or to the Milwaukee Bucks. He makes them a lot of money. He's one of the most marketable superstars in the league. Obviously, a perennial MVP candidate. He's won a couple of those. Defensive Player of the Year candidate. I mean, he's phenomenal. And he's unique. There is no one in the NBA or in sports like Giannis Antetokounmpo. Not even his brother, who's on the roster. So the deal has a player option for 27-28, but right now he's tied to Damian Lillard's contract and the contract that will keep him in Milwaukee for the same length of time. So he will not be a free agent in 2025. And Giannis himself is the one who announced it on social media, so we know it's legit. And he also had special signature shoes as a gift to teammates and staff members.
Every year.
Oh, look, Dollar got a bear.
Yes, sir.
Oh!
Yeah, man. Hey, man, I appreciate it, man. I really appreciate it.
Make sure you give me one of your suits.
I got you, man.
Hey.
I need mine signed. Your good signature.
What do you freak what? Freak five?
Freak five, man.
Make sure I got the freak five. Woo! What size is this?
What's that,
17, 16? 16, B-Nod. Size 16, B-Nod.
If you haven't seen the video, it's out there on social. All you have to do is Google it. But he's got a cart, and he wheels in stacks of shoe boxes. And his teammates are practicing, and they're all excited because it's essentially Christmas from Giannis in October. And at one point, he moves the cart a little awkwardly, and they all fall off onto the court. Damian Lillard gets his own shoebox from Giannis. And he calls them freak fives. They're actually very colorful. So make sure that you check out the video. I don't know if, Jay, you want to share it on our Twitter account, After Hours CBS. But yeah, I really need of Giannis to gift to all of his teammates and coaches, staff members with brand new shoes. Our show Twitter is After Hours CBS. We're starting to see your votes for TD of the Week. We'll let you hear those candidates again in our final hour. Had a couple of game winners, even a walk-off. Monday MVP, that one goes through, oh gosh, another 45 minutes, I say. Bottom of the hour. Next hour. That was awkward. It was awkward hour. It is awkward hour. So we've got three polls up, and they all continue through the next hour. I'm sorry, what did Clay Thompson say about this is one of the best shows in America? Not right now. Not this hour. Which team has got you a little bit worried? Worthy of worried. Worthy of worry. See what I mean? Which team is worthy of worry? The Niners or the Bills? So yeah, we got all kinds of polls up.
You're listening to one of the best shows in America.
I mean, stop it.
After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Now you're just taunting me. Okay, we've got some news from the NFL, of course. When do we not? Some injury news. A little bit from Kevin Stefanski on Deshaun Watson and why he was kept out on Sunday. Desmond Ridder, turnovers. A bunch of turnovers for some of these younger quarterbacks who are trying to find a consistency. Is it time to, I can't even say it out loud. Is it time to bench Jordan Love? The reason I laugh is because the Packers actually got rid of a Hall of Fame quarterback for Jordan Love so they could see what they have. They're not getting rid of Jordan Love. I know it's frustrating, but they've got to go through at least one season with Jordan so they know what they have. But Packers too. So we'll get to some of the QB news and other coming out of week 7. You guys, we're nearly 2 months into the NFL season. It's crazy.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Murray back to throw, and it is it tossed? Oh my goodness, it's caught! DeAndre Hopkins caught it!
Back from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it! Touchdown, LA!
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone. Oh, he's got it!
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught! Touchdown, Kansas City!
And off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown, Chargers! Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo! Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
For Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings, the season is not lost. In fact, they're in second place right now in a weaker NFC North. And as much as they do not have Justin Jefferson, maybe that's opening up opportunities for the rest of the receivers and the rest of the targets on that Vikings offense. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Nearly 400 passing yards for Kirk Cousins as he and the Vikings take out the Niners on Monday Night Football.
I've always just viewed it as being a point guard and distributing, and whoever the other players are out there, I'll just be the distributor. And that's kind of the way I've always played going back to high school. So I've been fortunate to play with a lot of talented skill players through my years, and I'll keep doing that. But really, it's just my thought is I'm the point guard distributing to whoever it may be, and then Kevin's kind of the coach drawing it up, and I just got to go execute it.
Kevin O'Connell fired up after this game, essentially giving the locker room his version of I told you so. Yes, the Vikings with a couple of big wins now. Can they keep it going? First one at home, by the way. I'm sure the fans and many were thrilled. As for Brock Purdy, first game in which he has thrown at least two interceptions. They came at the worst possible times. Last two of their offensive possessions. So last two chances for the Niners to rally from 5 points down, and he ends up throwing the ball away. So what went wrong with the Niners offense that only scored 17 points?
We felt good just in terms of, you know, moving the ball. Their defense did a good job with just different looks and switching things up and trying to make us hot, trying to drop eight. And so we were still moving the ball, and then we just got in the red zone and stuff and, you know, sort of folded at times. And so going into the second half, we felt good just in terms of, you know, hey, we get down there, we just got to execute and be better. We got to play our way of ball. So we felt good going into the second half, but that's just sort of how it went.
His completion percentage was high for the most part, and that doesn't include the ones he threw to the Vikings. He only got sacked once and didn't get hit a lot, but they did bring pressure. And Kurt Warner said it this way on the Westwood One broadcast of Monday Night Football. They confused him. They brought different looks at him, and they confused him. And at least that last interception, it was bad. He's completely missed his receiver. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Week 7 is in the books. And, yeah, there's lots of question marks around some of the younger quarterbacks in the NFL, like, say, a Desmond Ridder. Now, the Atlanta Falcons are first place in the South Division. So, like the North, it's wide open in the NFC. But some really tough turnovers and moments for Desmond Ridder. He had three fumbles in this victory.
A huge road win. One thing you got to do better from my standpoint is obviously take care of the ball, be able to protect the ball, and not even have to put us in these crucial situations. Whether it was the one down in the red zone on the 1 yard line or, you know, the run in there, those should be touchdowns that we should get put up on the board and never even have to be in a 2 minute drive.
Yeah, so it ends up a situation where they've got to rely on Young Wei Koo to be able to kick the walk off field goal. They do that on the road in Tampa. But yeah, the three fumbles and the defense of Arthur Smith is, hey, we won. It doesn't matter. But of course, they wanted to be making better decisions and taking better care of the football. Desmond on SiriusXM NFL Radio. So yeah, now they're in first place and they are above 500. So there's progress.
Any division game is huge, no matter whether it's played at home or away. But then obviously to get a division win on the road against the guys who won our division last year is obviously huge. We talked to the team just knowing that we got to come in here and, you know, take what they have. And if we want something, we got to take it. And so that was really the message. And I feel like we did a great job of that.
You may have noticed in week 7 in the NFL, we had some strange, odd, and unexpected matchups between quarterbacks. So thinking about the Raiders in Chicago, for instance, and it was Brian Hoyer and then Aiden O'Connell late against a Bears team that was starting Tyson Bagent. Man, what a great story for him, an undrafted free agent out of a Division II school. We also ended up in the Browns-Colts game with Gardner Minshew, who had 4 touchdowns but 4 turnovers against a Browns team that started with Deshaun Watson. They ended up declaring him ready to go on the weekend, but he did not last through the first half. A couple of nasty hits. He had to go through concussion protocol. And then Kevin Stefanski decided that he would not put him back out there on the field.
As you can imagine, all hits are tough, but yeah, I thought that was a big hit. I saw it up on the big screen when they showed the replay of it. Hit on the shoulder, taking him in, checking for a concussion. So I just felt like the right thing for the team was to protect him.
And the Browns are right in the mix in the AFC North, one of the tougher divisions in football. If you haven't checked the standings lately, Believe it or not, they are tied with the Steelers in second place, just a half game behind the Baltimore Ravens, who have 5 wins to the 4 for the Steelers and Browns. And P.J. Walker has started the last few weeks. So, Coach Stefanski, is that the direction you're heading for Sunday?
I'm really day-to-day, as you can imagine. That's probably sick of me saying that, but I just got to take the information every single day as we make decisions.
Browns have won 3 of 4, including now back-to-back wins, one against the Niners, who knocked them from the ranks of the undefeated, and this game on the road at the Colts, in which they get the game-winning score in the final 15 seconds. 39-38, your final. I mean, it was gritty. It was gutsy. I'll give the Browns credit for that. I'm not sure they can win any other way except to fight, scratch, claw, and kind of scrape it together, but if that's their identity and they own it, well, so be it. They've already survived a bunch of injuries. In that same AFC North, mentioned the Ravens. They're on top of the division. Lamar Jackson with a huge game, one of our candidates for Monday MVP. 4 for 4 in the red zone, 4 touchdowns in their first 4 drives, and the Ravens nearly skunk the Lions. And again, Lamar Jackson with the ball in his hands, dynamic.
I mean, I've been working real hard with him on that myself personally, with his running and then throwing late and seeing guys. So I'm really glad I'm kind of taking a lot of pride in that myself as a coach. You know, that's just Lamar. That's Lamar. You know, being Lamar, I think it's some of his innate talent. How he sees the game is pretty special.
It's kind of cool to see how this offense is unfolding for the Ravens. Now, their biggest challenge has been they're not capitalizing on the opportunities in the red zone. They have left way too many points out there on the field. But maybe this is a jumping off point for them. Over 500 yards of offense, and they're now 5-2. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I don't know whether or not you're still on board with Mac Jones getting benched in New England. That was a pretty popular refrain the last couple weeks. Maybe it's now Jordan Love who is under the microscope, and Packers fans are not sure that this was the right choice. Are you having trade remorse? Want Aaron Rodgers back?
It's going to be hard to cancel me.
Matt LaFleur, he doesn't want to hear it. They are on board with Love.
There's going to be some plays you want back. There's no doubt about it. There's no such thing as a perfect game. And, you know, there was a lot of things that I thought he did really well. That's just part of it. I think for him, just the feel that you have in the pocket, when to move, how much you have to move, it's part of our journey together. But he's done enough for me to show me that it's all right there.
The Packers were able to rally and take the lead against the Broncos on Sunday. Remember, the Broncos had dropped 10 straight games that they led at halftime. They hadn't won at home this season. And Jordan Love and the Packers were able to put together a 17-point second half. So that's a big deal. But to not have any points in the first half puts you behind the eight ball, right? They had a missed field goal in the first half, so that's, I mean, it's part of the issue after you control the ball for 6 minutes. And then to have a late interception when you have an opportunity, similar to what we talked about with the San Francisco 49ers, when you have an opportunity to drive the field, and whether it's a touchdown or whether it's a field goal, maybe, you know, just to be able to capitalize on that chance and kind of boost your confidence in this era with a new quarterback, and he throws a pick. So, yeah, best of times and worst of times for quarterbacks around the NFL. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by FX's A Murder at the End of the World, starring Emma Corrin, Clive Owen, and Britt Marling. Emma plays Darby Hart, a sleuth and tech-savvy hacker. She joins an exclusive group invited to a retreat. When one of the guests is found dead, Darby must prove it was murder before the killer takes another life. FX's A Murder at the End of the World, now streaming only on Hulu.